On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate today the Feast of Pentecost, I'm reminded of all the different confirmations that I've been doing around our deanery. As a dean, I have been asked to represent Bishop Olmsted and going around to different parishes doing confirmations for literally hundreds of children as they prepared for confirmation. And one of my favorite things to do is to see the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the joy on the faces of the children, because they know they're about to receive a gift. And what child doesn't want to receive a gift, right? So many times you're in church and you see people with kind of gloom faces, you know, like, "Oh, when is this thing going to get started?" And when you see those children coming to receive the gift of confirmation and first Holy Eucharist, you see the great excitement and the joy that they have. And when they come forward to receive Holy Communion, it's something that they've been waiting for a very long time, and you can just see the enthusiasm and the excitement. You know, sometimes when I'm distributing communion, even here, there'll be a child that comes up with their parent who's not old enough to receive communion yet, and they'll still try to reach up to, because they want to receive the Holy Communion as well, but they have to wait. And so now the big day comes and they're able to receive Holy Communion for the first time. And so when I look at their faces, I think that's how I should look every time that I come to Mass. That's how I should feel, full of joy, full of anticipation, excitement, every time I come to Mass, because the Holy Spirit does want to come and enter into my heart. And I have to make it a hospitable place. I have to make it welcome. And I should also be reverent when I receive Holy Communion. I should receive it as if it were my first time receiving, as if it were the last time that I receive communion. Amen? And so today we are looking at the Pentecost reading, and we see that this is the beginning of the mission of the church, the beginning of the mission of the church. So Jesus tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And they're supposed to wait in Jerusalem for what? They're waiting for the helper, the advocate, the paraclete, who is going to strengthen them for their mission. And so before this, they are not prepared for the mission. They have to receive the Holy Spirit first. And so the disciples are gathered in the upper room. They've been praying. They've been waiting. They don't know what's going to happen. They're afraid that the Jews are going to persecute them. And so they remember the words of Jesus: "If they have hated me, they will hate you also." And so they're naturally afraid that they're going to come and the same thing that happened to Jesus will happen to them. So here they are locked in the upper room. You know, when I was confirmed, I had two older brothers, and they always loved pulling tricks and pranks on me. And one of the things that my brothers told me was, you better read the whole Bible and the whole catechism, because the bishop is going to quiz you and he's going to ask you questions, and you better know the answer, otherwise mom and dad will be really disappointed. And so I was all nervous and reading through the catechism, trying to find cliff notes or whatever to help me to study whatever questions the bishop, the questions that the bishop asked were, "Do you reject Satan?" Sure, yeah, of course. And all of his empty works, I do. There were the renewal of the baptismal promises. That was the only questions the bishop asked me. He didn't just ask me, the whole group. So my brothers kind of got me scared for nothing. The other thing they told me was that the bishop was going to slap me right after he confirmed me. And I was nervous about that. How hard is he going to smack me? Well, this goes back to an ancient tradition where when the person was confirmed, the bishop did smack them for this very reason. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it will hate you also. And so the smack on the face was a reminder that you are called to be a warrior. You are called to, and you know, be prepared for suffering for the sake of the mission. The mission often will require you to suffer. You know, if your friends make fun of you because you're Catholic, because you go to church, because you have a set of beliefs and ideals. And so it was a reminder to you to toughen up. Now, when the bishop came to slap me, all he did was this. You know, just a tap on the face. It was nothing to get excited about. But my brothers had a lot of fun getting me worked up nonetheless. What's interesting is, you know, when I do that, when you look at the pictures, because the picture is frozen in time, and I just touch them on the face, it actually looks like I'm slapping them. But. So the disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come before they were allowed to then go out into all the world and be on a mission. And I think this is an important thing for us to remember in all aspects of our life. Because as human beings, we want to be well prepared. We want to have good organization. We want everybody to understand what their job is, what their role is. And we want to have lots of planning and good management. But none of those things are what the disciples really needed. What they needed was to spend time in prayer and to receive the Holy Spirit. And so we should always begin. When I was living in the Benedictine monastery for my seminary formation, the monks always said, before you begin anything, you always pray. Ora et labora. You pray and then you work. And so it's important for us to recognize that as well planned, as well prepared as we are to do something, that it's often more important that we invite the Holy Spirit to be part of it. Whether you're going to work out in the world, whether you are looking at your role as a mother or as a father or a husband or wife, we should do everything with prayer and inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us and to strengthen us and to help us with what we need to do. And so I think that's an important part of each of us. We have to be reminded, I think. We get so caught up in our own human planning that we forget to plan to invite God. And so we do that by prayer and inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us first. When I think of the Holy Spirit is, the gospel describes it as a wind. We heard the rushing sound of the wind, and so oftentimes the Holy Spirit is the wind. When Jesus gave the disciples the Holy Spirit, the gesture that gave it to them was he breathed on them. And so there's the word breath. It's a kind of wind. And wind pushes things. It pushes the leaves. It pushes sailboats through the ocean. And so I think the Holy Spirit is like that. The Holy Spirit will push you or drive you to do something. The more sensitive you are to the Holy Spirit, the stronger that drive will be. I remember when I was a seminarian, I had gone and visited a family in the hospital with the pastor, and we were only there for a brief moment, but the man had a massive heart attack, and he didn't even know it. By the time they got him into the hospital, he was in very critical condition. And so it was about 5 days later, and it was my day off, and I was driving about 3 hours to get back to Fayetteville, North Carolina, from near the Virginia border, and I was passing by the city where I knew he was. And I don't know why I did it. I just turned the steering wheel and got off the exit and went to the hospital. And then I realized, oh, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm supposed to be going to see my parents. But since I'm here, I might as well stop by and see how the family's doing. And as soon as I entered their room, I was still a seminarian, but they called me Father anyway. They said, Father, you couldn't have come at a better time. They're just about to unplug his life support system, whatever, he's going to pass away. And so I was there praying with the family when he passed away. But I think I was at least open somewhat to the prompting of the Holy Spirit that nudged me, that said, you know, get off the exit, go visit this family. And I think all of us have an experience of that, where the Holy Spirit nudges you to say something to somebody. Tell them that you love them. Tell them this or tell them that. And so oftentimes, out of fear, we don't do it. We don't follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. There was a man that I knew in Mesa, and he had a special gift where he would be at the gas station, and he would say, "The Holy Spirit just told me to tell this guy that everything is going to be all right, that God loves him." And it happened to be the attendant at the gas station. And he goes up to the guy and he tells him that. And the guy starts weeping because he's been going through a lot and he's been wondering whether God still loves him. He has conversations like this on the airplane all the time with people sitting next to him. And he's very sensitive to being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I think it's a skill that we have to learn or develop. It's a sensitivity that we have to develop in conjunction maybe with somebody else that we trust, a spiritual director, because there are many types of spirits. There can be evil spirits that can confuse us or trick us, and so sometimes it's good to bounce those things off of somebody that we know is a holy person that can help us discern whether that is truly from the Holy Spirit. But I think it's important for us to be aware that the Holy Spirit does prompt us and push us in certain direction. When we read about the first Pentecost, we see that when they heard the noise of the rushing wind, people from all different nations gathered to hear it. And I think there's a little foreshadowing there. People of all the different nations gathering to see what's going on. What is this noise? This is something unusual. But because it's so many different nations, I think it's a foreshadowing of the church. We say the Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal, which means it goes out to every nation on the face of the earth. That's the mission of the church, is to bring Jesus, to bring the gospel to all the nations of the earth. And so we see all the different peoples are gathered there at that first Pentecost to begin the mission of the church. And miraculously, they all understood the message. They all understood in their own native language because of the Holy Spirit working through them. And the Catholic Church is present on every continent on the face of the earth and is still proclaiming Jesus there. And you are part of that Catholic Church, and you are part of that mission of proclaiming the gospel, bringing God's peace, love, mercy, forgiveness wherever you are also. So pray, come Holy Spirit, and fill our minds and hearts that we may be at work with you in renewing the face of the earth. Amen.